Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
I was already told not to suck this morning. I knew that was going to bite me in the butt. Remember, I told Brother Brian not to suck because he had to follow all those great messages we got during the nest. So I said, don't suck. And then my buddy over here, right? He says, Ryan, it doesn't look like you've lost any weight since I saw you last week. But for sure, I've lost weight because I shaved my head. That was at least 5 pounds. Okay? So I think I've lost 5 pounds. It's a new year, right? We did this last year. We did a solemn assembly. It wasn't on a service on a Sunday. We did a special service called a solemn assembly last year, and we talked about the new year. So we're going to do just a quick review because a lot of you are new, and you don't know what the heck I'm talking about, right? Sometimes I don't even know what I'm talking about. But it's a new year. And so what I'm talking about is there is a Hebraic calendar. It's God's calendar. You find it in Leviticus 23. It's God's day timer. It's his calendar. They're on a totally different calendar than the Gregorian calendar. It's a Hebrew calendar. And God sets appointed times throughout history that he's going to meet with his people. This is one of those times. Leviticus 23 talks about 7 different feasts of the Lord. They're not the Jewish feast. They're the feast of the Lord. They're his feast. And Moed is the word for holy convocation or set appointed time, God's day timer. So we are gathering together today at God's set appointed time. Here's the good news. Here's really the good news is that he showed up on these set appointed days. In the spring, we have 4 feasts of the Lord: Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits, and the Feast of Pentecost. What's beautiful about it is that God himself, through the agency of his Son, Jesus Christ, showed up on the 4 feast days at the appointed time. He showed up at the appointed time. So Jesus, in essence, is the feast of the Lord. That's what it's about. It's about Jesus. On Passover, Jesus gave his life so that death once and for all would pass over us once and for all. It was done. Up until that point, on the Day of Atonement, which is 10 days from now, a high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and he would put down a credit card payment for the debt that was owed. Somebody had to pay the credit card bill. And Jesus fulfilled that credit card bill. He paid the debt 2,000 years ago by giving his own life and shedding his own blood. On the Feast of Unleavened Bread, he laid in the tomb. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is about sin. It's about getting sin out of your life. God himself, through the agency of Jesus Christ, took sin out of us. We're innocent. On the Feast of First Fruits, it's about giving the best of the best of the best of your sheaf offering. Heaven gave us the best of the best of the best that it had to offer, and his name was Jesus Christ. And he rose again. 50 days after Passover is Pentecost. 10 days before that happened, Jesus ascended to the Father and sat down at the right hand and is currently making intercession on our behalf. But he said, before I go, I want you to know that I'm sending someone to help you. In the Greek, it's called the paraclete. It means someone that's going to run up beside you and encourage you along the way. somebody that's going to be right beside you as you run the race that's set before you, who's going to say, you can do this. You can make it. You're going to get to the finish line because I've sent the comforter, the paraclete, the one that's going to get you to the finish line. That's what he did on the day of Pentecost. So the four feasts in the spring have been fulfilled by Jesus Christ himself. What's beautiful is when you study them at the ninth hour, for thousands of years, they had been slaughtering the unblemished lamb in the temple. At the ninth hour in your Bible, Jesus said it was finished. So for thousands of years, they practiced. The other word in the Hebrew is mikra. It means dress rehearsals. So when we do a dress rehearsal, it's for a real thing, right? So they were getting ready for the real thing. Well, Jesus is the real thing. He came and he completed the dress rehearsal in the spring feast. Come on. So now what do we got? We got three fall feasts left. What do you think they're about? Jesus. And he's coming, somebody said. The fall feasts are about Jesus' second coming. And he's coming, just like he did in the spring. He's coming again. This first feast that starts today is the Feast of Trumpets. In case you don't know what a shofar is, here's one up here on the stage. This is a sound you're going to hear when he shows up. When you hear this sound, you know it's time to go. It's time to go. So during the Feast of Trumpets, I know this is where the church gets kind of squirrely on me. They get a little squirrely when I say this. Jesus is coming back during the Feast of Atonement. Feast of Trumpets. In the Feast of Trumpets. Jesus is coming back during the Feast of Trumpets at the last trump. It's the last thing they do. At the end of the 7 days, they blow the shofar 100 times, and the last one is called the last trump. He says in the New Testament, get ready, I'm coming back on the last trump. Not Donald Trump either. That's not what he's talking about. It was good.
I like Donald Trump, but don't go there.
The Day of Atonement is all about the judgment seat of Christ. But see, we don't have anything to fear there anymore, do we? Because we've been made innocent, right? And then the Feast of Tabernacles is also known as the Feast of Booths, is where God comes down and finally tabernacles among men again, meaning he comes to live with us forever and ever and ever. It starts with the millennial kingdom or the millennial reign of Christ, and it goes on forever. And so there's a day coming in the future, maybe not this year, maybe not next year, but in the future, Jesus is going to show up in the fall feast. He's going to split the heavens. He's going to ride down on a cloud. He's going to blow a trumpet, and he's going to say, I'm here. I'm here to get you. It's time. All right. It's good news. That's good news. I don't know how to put it any more succinctly than I just did. I got to go back and visit something real quick because I told Charlie, he asked, I was at men's meeting. I know it's a shock for most people. Hallelujah. I was there. I said, I'm going to make it to men's meeting. And something Charlie said last Sunday, he said, we can't be chickens. Chickens build idols. And man, that just hit me because, see, the same scripture he was getting that from is something the Lord spoke to me, is that we've created idols in the church, right? Because we're a bunch of chickens. We've put just like Moses when he went up to the mountain, we put pastors in charge and we built idols. It's what we've done. We've made an idol out of something that where God said, this is the most important thing to me. He is so head over heels in love with us. He's so head over heels in love with us all the way back to the garden, right? all the way back there. He's in fellowship and relationship with us in such a way that he comes down and walks with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. He is longed for this oneness. I'm telling you, I think I know why the enemy fell. I think I know why he got so upset, because God chose to put his DNA in human beings. He didn't do that in angels, but he did it in us. I think the enemy got jealous because he was the high cherubim, and all of a sudden something more important was happening in the heavenlies, and God said, I'm going to put my DNA on the inside of them. But see, they messed up because we're human beings, and we do mess up. Just ask me. Look, if you haven't been around here for the last 2 years, I'm really good at messing up. Just ask anybody that's been here for 2 years. And if you need to go back to Georgia, I can find a whole bunch of people for you to talk to there too. I have messed it up, right? That's what we do. We wonder why the Jewish people didn't get their act together. Here he shows off. He longs to fascinate the human heart, right? He longs to blow our mind. He gets them out of Egypt in the most profound way ever seen at that time in human history. He does incredible acts and demonstrations and signs and wonders in front of them. Then he gets them out of there, right? And he takes them down to the ocean and says, now watch this. I'm really going to blow your mind. You would think that signs and wonders would do it. It doesn't. If signs and wonders kept us in the presence of the Lord, then we would have gotten off that train a long time ago in the Old Testament. But it didn't work, because the minute that God said, I'm coming, get ready, he told Moses to prepare the people, prepare the animals. He's coming. Set boundaries. Charlie was talking about this morning, the glory. I mean, we want to be in a place that's so saturated with his glory. I mean, we're afraid to speak because his glory's here. Then nobody needs to be up here at that point, right? God's glory showed up on Mount Sinai, and the people got afraid. They were chickens. And Moses was the only one dumb enough. You think I'm kidding? He was the only one dumb enough to go up the mountain. So you need dumb sheep. We do. We need somebody that's just dumb. We don't need somebody to overthink it. We just need to be blind, dumb sheep and go like, I'm going up the mountain. My shepherd's up there. But they got the thing that entered into their heart was fear. God's heart all along was to bring the whole nation of Israel up the mountain. But they were chicken, and we've built idols. All right, next slide. All right, I've already told you. There was a calendar, still a calendar. It's God's calendar. We changed it to a pagan calendar. But God didn't switch. Just because we switched to a pagan calendar doesn't mean that God switched to a pagan calendar. He stayed on his calendar. Now, this is what I love. You know, I said letters and numbers and pictures, oh my, right? Because that's what this is talking about. The Hebrew alphabet, we've got letters, we've got numbers, and we have pictures. The Jews actually had a pictorial, each letter had a picture with it. We're going to see that in just a minute, what that means. But Jesus says about his word, about this book, he says, not one jot or tittle will pass away until it completes what it was purposed to do. So it means, until heaven and earth shall pass away, not one yod, the smallest Hebrew letter, and not the smallest pen stroke, which I'll show you what a pen stroke here in just a minute is, will not pass away until it is completely fulfilled. That's good news. So here's some fun stuff. I don't know. I have teenagers. You might have teenagers. You have kids. And they look at this book and it's like, right? Some of us adults look at this book and we're like, you know? I got a friend watching in Alaska right now. He wants me to read everything, regurgitate it, and feed it back to him, right? So it's easy for him to understand. He doesn't want to do the work. Because there's a little bit of work involved. When we do this, when we start seeking out who the Lord is, there's a little bit of work. But he knows. You're going to laugh at this too. I know you are. But I'm like the Indiana Jones. That's how I'm wired. I'm like the archaeologist that's seeking out these hidden treasures in God's word. It's something for kings to seek out. This word is something for kings to seek out the treasure of it. And that's how I feel. I'm probably not as athletic as Indiana Jones, but I'd like to be. So let's talk about the first five books of the Bible. They're called Torah. I'm going to give you a little understanding what I mean by letters, numbers, and pictures. Okay? Because every number has a letter represented to it, and it also has a picture. Okay? So when we look at the first five books of the Bible, Torah, well, everybody knows, oh, that's the Jews thing. That's their deal, right? That's the Torah is the Jewish thing. And then some people say, well, the Torah is the law, right? You've heard that, right? It's a little more than that. How about this? The Torah actually has a hidden message in it. When you look at the letters T-O-R-A-H, it's on a cross, is nailed the highest one to behold. That's the picture. It's pretty cool, right?
That's the breakdown of the Torah?
That's it. Do you need to let that sink in for a minute? Yeah, let it sink in. All right. Here's another one. I love this. I've done this here before, but there's new people, okay? So Genesis chapter 5, there in the genealogy from Adam to Noah, there's a hidden message. Don't you hear that? Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. So, yeah, dude, especially today, something to cover. So you got Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. When you look at the Hebrew meanings of their names, you get this. Man appointed mortal sorrow, the blessed God shall come down, teaching his death shall bring the despairing rest or comfort. In Genesis chapter 5, God put the plan of salvation in the genealogy from Adam to Noah. That's really cool. So he's had a plan all along. It's like God knows what he's doing. And who has gotten to the genealogy in the Bible and like, now y'all are going to go look at every genealogy and try to, well, what does this mean? It's gotten you a little excited. You'll wait till I take care of it. So God's got a plan. He told us that he had a plan. Before the foundations of the earth, the lamb was slain. And he left little clues like this, little breadcrumbs for us to follow. And we'll see a little more about this in a minute. But let's review about last year because so much, and I know this is the smallest one, Rodney, okay? Sorry. But let's review because we're entering into the new era, but it's a new decade, a new set of 10 years. We're leaving the decade of Ion and we're moving into the decade of Pay. Okay. So the last 10 years has been the Ion season. 5700, the number 5700 means may it be the year of. The number 70 is Ion. That you have eyes to see, and last year was 9, right? And it was Tet, and it had to do with the womb or the new wineskin. Last year. But the number 70 has, and Brian teased me, my brother, Higby, in case you're wondering, teased me about numbers a lot in the last couple of times that we've worked together. And he said, Ron, you and your numbers. I'm like, but 70 means the end of captivity. It means deliverance. It means that God wants to deliver you out of your captivity. In this last season, in this last year, the man sitting right there in front of me said, this is a time and a season that God is revealing the baptism of innocence. Come on, in this last year, that's what the Lord downloaded to him. Personally, I have walked through a season of deliverance and healing that I never thought was possible. Salvation in the Greek is the word sozo. It means, I knew this a second ago, spirit, soul, and body. I know. Still got to work on the body. But yeah, he saved our spirit, right? We've been saved. If we've confessed Jesus is Lord, we have been saved. Spirits, check, right? Then we got your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions. Let me just tell you, I needed my emotions healed these last 2 years because I've done all the deliverance ministry. I'd been to SLAP ministry, SWAM ministries, every other kind of ministry where they were casting out devils. But the Lord brought me to Florida, honest to God, ripped me out of my comfortable little spot up in Georgia and brought me down here so I could sit in a little old lady's room. Is that wrong to say little old lady? That's probably wrong, isn't it? So that God could work on my emotions, because my emotions were broken and they had been broken since I was a little boy. But God in these last 2 years has healed my emotions. So this decade has been about deliverance, being set free. Why? Because he wants us to bring us higher than we are right now. And he's been putting his finger on it, okay? He wants to deal with the squishy parts. Y'all thought Charlie was honest. He wants to deal with my squishies. So you have a picture there on the left. It's the eyes. That's Ion, and then on the right is the womb or the new wineskin. What's cool, did y'all hear, who's the bench? Rusty. Rusty said something during the NEST conference. He said, the matrix has been broken. When the water breaks in a womb, you don't get to put it back in. It's been broken. The matrix was broken in the year 5779. This is what we talked about last year. I'm trying to build something so you can follow me. Is everybody tracking along here? So the matrix was broken for us. There was a shift in the atmosphere over Identity Church, and things are really changing. So it was, may it be the year that you have eyes to see the womb and the new wineskin. God is doing something new, and the way we were doing it isn't going to work anymore. Listen, you were single at one time, and then you got married and had a baby, and the things that you used to do, you couldn't do anymore. Does that make sense? Well, we've had a baby. We had a baby, it's a boy. So we cried out in 5779. We prayed and interceded in the prayer room, right? We aligned ourselves with the word of the year so that we could enter into it, right? And God helped out a lot, didn't he? But God's new wineskin, this was what we talked about last year. A part of it is the church. God's new wineskin for the church is the fivefold ministry. This is notes from last year. So he says the wineskin is complete. What did Charlie get up here and just say a minute ago? He is doing something. He's laid the foundation. Now we're going to put this on top of it. Listen, something is happening. And then he said, I'm going to fill it up. I'm going to fill the wineskin up. So we're going to continue the process that he started with us. And then, like Charlie was hoping for, the manifestation, the presence of God is going to come in such a way that we get filled up. Yes. I'm excited. That's enough about 5780 or 5779. Let's talk about 5780. I want to just give you a picture of this. This is James Nesbitt. He does this every year, but that's the letter P in the lion's mouth, and that's breath, the ruach, the pneuma, the speech, the vocalization, the expression of the Lord. And really what's that I think it's showing here is when he spoke, the heavens and the earth were created. He spoke it into reality. So pay is the letter for this year. Pay represents the number 80. You following? We still here? So if we're leaving the ion season, which had to do with the eye, we're moving into the pay season. God gave us insight into the last season. He gave us wisdom in the last season so that we could speak into this season. So we're moving in into a season. We're going to continue to see. It isn't like he just shuts off your eyes and you never see again, because we need to see. We got to, it is, it's the next, it's line upon line, precept upon precept. But here's the thing. The Lord was really getting on my case. So if this is not you, don't worry about it. But he was getting on my case about it. And I fasted this week, not because I wanted to do a really good job on a message, right? That's why I used to fast. But I didn't want to fast this week because, and I only did about 80% good, okay? So just, I'm confessing. I did 80% well. But I was fasting because I want to get back to that place of relationship. Not because I need to be validated through men, but I want to be back into a place of intimacy and relationship, because in that place, that's where I see. It's where I hear. And then it's where I can give expression to what the Holy Spirit is saying. That's why I was fasting this week. And the Lord just got on my case. He said, Ron, you can't have a Facebook religion. Ouch. We think that we can have a Facebook religion and speak the oracles of heaven. Ouch. We think that we can have a little Twitter escapade and change nations. And God's not, nope, that's not going to work. We think that we can allow the words of Fox News or CNN to be our influence, and God is saying, that's not going to cut it. You need to hear my words. Revelation chapter 4, come up here. I want to show you something. I want to speak to you so that you can be a mouthpiece. The word trumpet has to do with speech. The Feast of Trumpets is about voice being spoken. And this is the season that we're in. But if we don't have intimacy or relationship, if we're not communing with the Lord and we're giving ourselves to other things, it doesn't work. So the pictograph is in the shape of a mouth, right? Up here you have a yod. It takes two letters in the Hebrew alphabet to come to form the letter pay, and it's yod and kaf. And I'll talk about, and yod means this. I'm sorry, kaf means a symbol of a spoon, but it also, it's a representation of our soul, our spirit. So the kaf has to do with our spirit, and then yod has to do with the divine spark. Listen, here's something that will blow your mind. When God said, let it be, let there be light, let there be, here's what they believe. The Jewish people believe he was, you'll get this in a second. He was standing on the Temple Mount, where the Temple Mount is today. When God said, let there be, That's where he stood. That's why the enemy hates that piece of ground. Because he stood in that very spot and he said, "Let there be light." The divine spark is an inverted vav. It's a nail coming down from heaven. We'll talk about the hidden bet in a moment. That's the little, you see it. You saw it. So we have a divine spark. That's, I mean, come on, that's like the spark of a huge race car engine, but this is the spark of creation, the universe as we know it. It's that divine spark. There's a little dot, remember? I told you, I was going to make sure that you knew, not one jot or tittle. That little dot is the dagesh. Without that mark, that word becomes faith instead of pay. And the reason that this is important is because the story goes is that when you speak against the Lord, he removes your tooth. So if you're not speaking from a place of wisdom, then he'll remove your tooth, and it's pronounced Fay. That's why it gets the name Fay. And the story they tell is this. When Pharaoh stood against God and spoke against the people of Israel, God went down and removed his tooth. And that's where we get the name Pharaoh. Okay? That's the story they tell. At Passover, is another pay word, right? We remember God's goodness and glory for having taken the Jewish people out of Egypt. In other words, the very first letter of Scripture, did I just go down? Did I move something? I did. I went too far. I'm trying to see my notes. It won't let me see them. Moving on. So the warning the Lord has given us in this season is because, listen, have you ever wanted to wag your tongue at somebody? Have you ever wanted to give them a piece of your mind? Y'all have heard this said, but, you know, I was with a builder. I was with a builder, and she was introducing me to her son, and she said, "Oh, he works with Charlie." And he's like, "I love Charlie." And the mom shot back, and she says, "Yeah, everybody loves Charlie until they don't." There's been a moment, for those of you not clear, there's been a moment of wrestling between Charlie and I as brothers, right? We've wrestled. And you know what the Lord told me during the season of wrestle? He said, "Shut up." Boy, but that my flesh said, "But you got to be right." Have you ever just known in an argument or in a conversation, maybe in your marriage with your wife or husband, and you're like, I'm going to show you I'm right in this situation. It doesn't work out good at all, Pastor Charlie. Yeah. So what God is saying is sometimes you need to shut up.
Why do all the wives look at the husband?
And Charlie mentioned this a little bit last week, that we need to have the wisdom of the Lord and we need to listen to him, and there are times that we're not supposed to speak and there are times that we are so to speak. So in this decade, you need to be listening to the Lord on when to speak and not to speak. See, Charlie, you already prophesied into this week. Look at you. So proud. So the hidden bet. I said it's like the hidden manna, right? Talks about Revelation. It's a gift. It's like this. There's this hidden bread of life. Who is the bread? It's Jesus, right? The first word of Scripture begins with the enlarged letter bet, representing the house of creation. It is inferred that the invisible letter pay surrounding the bet represents the word of God that created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1 and John 1:1 and 3. In other words, the very first letter of Scripture is a picture that the word of God is the agency behind the entire universe. That's what the hidden bet means in this letter. This was another one that I really got a kick in the pants on. So within this single letter is present the multi-layered richness of God's design. But he went a little deeper, and he got me on the hind end parts. And he said, what you say at home is going to be expressed in public, and what you say in public is going to be expressed in your home. So what he's saying, in essence, that your words in this decade are going to carry a lot more weight than they have in previous decades. And so if you've got a secret, hidden conversation that you're having outside your home, it's about to get exposed. Yikes. So what does that mean? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, he's about to reveal the abundance of what's in your heart. So I'm gonna fast some more. Okay. I want to get close again. So in this picture of the letter pay, you notice that it keeps going. The dagesh, or it's written in, it's called soffit format, right? It has to do with strength and foundation, but it also means that God is calling us to go beyond what we've normally gone and done before. It means we're supposed to go further than we've gone before. Most of us get up to the chicken line, and that's where we stop. But God, in this season, in this decade, is calling us to go beyond where we normally go, to go even and go into places that we never thought we would go into before. He's calling us into the highways and the byways to go and seek the sinner, right? He's calling us in this season to draw on his divine nature and bring the presence of God in this vessel out into all the places that he commands us to go. It means going beyond. This is something I thought was really cool. You can read that up there yourselves, but the sages like to point out the significance of double letters. In the case of the pay, there's a double mem, or two mems, the 13th letter of the alphabet, whose numerical value is 40. Two mems equal pay. Moses spent his first 40 years learning Torah before he was able to spend his last 4 years transmitting it. And this is where God gave me a little kiss this morning. 1979 was when I gave my life to the Lord, 40 years ago. That was a little kiss for me. It may not mean anything to you, but it's a kiss for me. It's got a little excited. Then Charlie gave me a word, and I got even more excited. I cried in his office like a big fat baby. It was a really good word. He didn't even yell at me. Psalms 107:20, he said he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Matthew 8:8, you remember the centurion, right? He says, look, you don't need to come to my house. Don't even worry about that. Just send your word. Speak your word and my servant will be healed. Remember what Jesus said about that guy? I hadn't seen faith like this. Did I lose that? All right, let's move on. So what does the year 5780 mean for us? Let's personalize this, right? Number one, we're to break through into the new era. That's what we're doing. We're breaking through. The matrix is broken. We're in a new era. It's a year to release God's decrees from the place of intimacy. Some of the pay words for this year are word, expression, speech, breath, vocalization. It's a season to understand the power of the spoken word. Every word God speaks has power. Jeremiah the prophet, right, was called of the Lord to speak the word, and he was a young man. Most people don't realize he was a teenager. He was a young guy. And Jeremiah was called as a prophet, but he had a dilemma. The dilemma was is he felt ill-equipped. He didn't feel like he could be God's spokesperson. There are people in this room, sometimes even me, I don't feel equipped to give God's word. I'm not Superman. I'm not brilliant. I'm a dumb sheep. If this is impressing you, see me later. Follow me around a couple of days and you'll find out that I'm not that impressive.
Amen.
So there's a dilemma. Sometimes when God calls us, we have this internal dilemma that goes on and goes, I'm not ready for this. I don't want to do this. But there's a solution in Jeremiah chapter 1 through verse 10. The solution to Jeremiah's problem is to first obey and go to everyone he sends you to. See, the people that are successful in church just obey. The people that you think are big shots and got it going on and hear God, they're just dumb sheep and they obey. They just do what their master says. They're not super special. They're just like you. But they were just they were willing to step out of the comfort zone and stop being a chicken and take a risk, spelled F-A-I-T-H. And God showed up. So you got to first go to everyone he sends you to. I had to take a risk by faith and come to Florida. I did. I didn't want to come down here. I did not. We fought that word for 3 years. Then he took my airplane and my helicopter away, and I had to come anyway. God then will fill your mouth with his words to speak. Now, this is different. Somebody said this morning, I thought it was so cool because they were talking about Isaiah. I don't know if it was in the prayer room right here, but he touched Isaiah's mouth with a lump of coal, a burning hot coal, right? But here, he touches Jeremiah's mouth and he puts his words in there. That's what he does. Jeremiah didn't declare his own words, but he spoke God's words and declarations. If you look at Psalm 81, verse 10, it says, open your mouth wide and let God fill your mouth with his words. It even says that God will take your burden in Psalm 81. Something about a yoke. If you yoke yourself up with Jesus, it's not going to be a hard journey. It'll be easier than you thought. But most of us look at the yoke and we're like, that burden looks a little heavier than I want to. But then Jesus yokes himself with you and that burden becomes light because it's not you, it's him. As you speak God's decrees, I want you really to get this next part. As you begin to speak God's decrees this year, here's what's going to happen. Principalities are going to be uprooted. Power structures will be torn down. Institutions will be destroyed. Human rulers will be overthrown. God's kingdom will be built up. God's purposes will be established. And when you declare what God is saying in the atmosphere changes. And that's what God has called the church to do. So you say you don't have a purpose. every one of us doing. I've been telling Charlie, one of the things that God has been highlighting to me, this is a side note, okay? But one of the things that the Lord has been speaking to me is that we have falsely represented who Jesus is. And the reason is not one person can fully show the world who Jesus is. It takes us collectively in unity to fully reveal who Jesus is. So until we do our part and step into the place that we're supposed to step into, we can't fully reveal who Jesus is. And so the world's looking at us like, what is that? Well, as we begin to step in and decree together in one voice, the world is going to see who Jesus really is. This one's going to hurt. God did not create the church to be a country club. It's not. Because in the New Testament, the word church is ecclesia. I understand ecclesia because I worked in government for 7 years. They do a lot of ecclesia. What are they? They are a legislative body. And that the legislative body dictates how you and I are going to live life and whether it's going to be good or bad. What are the war of words going on right now in Washington? There are a war of words about what is going to affect you in this next season. But guess who has a higher authority than the one here on the natural plane? It's the ecclesia. But we have to look at this and say, hey, wait a minute, I'm going to add my voice to the legislative body, the body of Christ, and I'm going to begin to decree things that are outside the natural realm. Oops. It establishes boundaries. As an ecclesia, we can say, here and no more. It makes decrees and changes law. That's what an ecclesia does. Whew. Biblical principle. Who can speak and have it happen? Y'all read that. When God's prophetic decree is released into the atmosphere, change happens. Jeremiah understood that. You can look at Lamentations 3, 37 through 38 if you want to see a picture of that. When you speak your word, it can fall to the ground, but when you speak God's word, it will happen. It will happen. The problem is what God was getting at with me about Facebook is these are my words. We're trying to legislate through human means, and the Lord is saying, that's not going to work. I've called you to be ecclesia. So this is the year of the mouth. This one's going to be really important this year. We have to learn the power of the spoken word. As you speak God's word into your atmosphere, you'll manifest God's rule in the earth. The trap is that when we have an expectation of how things should be versus how they are, here's where we get into a trap. When we think, this is how something should be in my life right now. I shouldn't be going through this right now. We have a tendency to not set a guard upon our mouth. When things aren't going our way or going we're going through times of difficulty, we take the filter right off. Thank God the Lord told me to shut up. I wouldn't be standing here today. We give voice to unbelief. Here's my favorite. We murmur and complain. Instead, be careful to declare what God has said, claim His promises, and thank Him. So here's what I learned this last year and a half. I thought, this is where I'm supposed to be. When you're almost 50, right, you start having expectations on where you think you should be in life, right? But I wasn't where I wanted to be. because I had a bigger expectation of this is where I wanted to be, but God taught me to hug the hell out of my cactus. And just let it poke the hell right out of me. Literally. That's what embracing the way things are, because what are we really saying when we do that? What we're really saying is, I trust God. What I'm really saying in this situation is that His leadership over my life is safe. That He's the author and the finisher of my story. That's the truth. Man, if that's the only reason God brought me down here, hallelujah! Because prior to that, I murmured and complained and told God I'm supposed to be here, but you've got me here, and I made all kinds of messes. Now I'm just, I'm hugging it. Hugging the heck out of it. My son didn't know I was going to do this. That's when I was skinnier, by the way. Pay also pictures of face. In Hebrew, your face represents you. Pay word is face. If that's the case, God's face also represents God's presence. Where do we see a picture of that? Moses spends time with God. His face glowed. So much so it scared the people. Chickens down there, your face is glowing. I mean, can you imagine? Put a veil over that thing. We don't want to look at that all day. I know people say they want to put a veil on my face, but not because it's glowing. If you understand God's face represents His presence, it helps you understand the Bible. The priestly blessing. Who was here? If you haven't heard this, you got to go back and hear our brother Bill Vanderbush talk about the priestly blessing. Right? It's an amazing picture. And this is about this year, face to face. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace, or shalom. He wants to increase you this year. He wants to protect you this year. He wants to look at you face to face. And the picture that Bill said is that God comes down and He kneels down and He gets on your level and He looks at you face to face. That does something on the inside of me. Do you remember when your kids were little and they might have fell down, or you're just so tall, you know, you got to get down on their level because why? You love them, right? And you want to look them in face to face, especially when something's going on in their life and there's brokenness and there's hurt and there's pain. As a father, I want to get down and I want to look them face to face. And they can see in my eyes compassion and intimacy and love for them, right? That's why this is the picture of God our Father getting down on His knees, looking at us face to face. That's what He wants to do this year because He loves you. In the Old Testament, when God turned His face away from you, it meant judgment. When He turned His back, hey, look, He turned His back on His own son. When sin rested on Him fully, He turned away from it. It's in your Bible. I'm not making this up. In the Message Bible, it says, this is it. When you stop walking with God, He loves you enough to do whatever it takes to bring you back. How many times have you seen that in your personal walk with Jesus? You get mad. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to do what I want. I don't need Him. He's like, all right. He says in Hosea 5, I will turn away from them until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face In the message, it says it this way. When they finally hit rock bottom, maybe then they'll come to their senses. Come looking for me. I like that, right? Some of us are coming to our senses. I believe that we can begin to decree into the atmosphere for our loved ones this year that they will come to their senses, that they'll hit rock bottom. And they'll come and find the one that loves them. The one that wants to kneel down in front of them and look them face to face. When he turns his face back to you, just like in the story of Hosea, lovely story. It's definitely should be a children's book. Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like Charlie's book that's about to be released right now, From Rape to Righteousness. It's probably on that same level, caliber. But, you know, Hosea marries Gomer, and she's not faithful. But he leads her out into the desert, Gomer, and 3 days he comes to her, and he bandages her, and he brings her back to himself, and she comes to her senses. 2 Chronicles 7, we've all heard this. This is almost rote in church. I mean, we just kind of go through, blah, blah, blah. I know that one. But this year, this is a time and a season that our words, God's word, as we decree them, are going to have power. When God's face is towards you, there is nothing he will withhold. A year of pay is to seek God's face. How do we seek God's face? Pretty simple. Make a conscious choice. Make a choice. Stop living on the regurgitated words of somebody else and go to the one, the living one, who gives words of life. To make being close to God a goal this year. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. A pay year is also known as a key year for prayer and intercession. Prayer and intercession are pay words. You got paga, is that right? Intercession. That's the Hebrew word for intercession. Palal is the word for prayer, a pay word. God is calling you to a new level of prayer and intercession this year. I know Charlie's put a mandate on Karen and this body that we're going to be a body about prayer and intercession, because it's not just this work, it's relationship. It's communication. It's communion with the Father. God wants to know that in your intercession, you can change nations. He's calling you to intercession because the earth is in a mess. Listen, in the New Testament, we're called kings and priests. In the Old Testament, in Leviticus, it was the priest's job to never let the fire go out on the altar. The altar today is your heart. You are a king and a priest to God. And if you let the fire go out on your altar, it's your fault. He'll help you relight it, but you got to be willing to relight the fire in your own heart. Listen, I weighed really if I was going to say this one or not. But this is so true. If your prayer life is pathetic, your view of God is pathetic. Amen. And you need to ask God for a better view of who he is. Pay words include, this year, earthquake, refugee, revolt and rebellion, Ethiopia, Persia, Iran, Philistine or Palestinians, Pharaoh, and Egypt. So these are pay words. So what does that mean to us? Well, we need to be praying and asking God about earthquakes. This is 2018. You want to guess where it is? It's Alaska. I gave a word in Alaska in Kodiak 2 years ago that within 7 days, God was going to shake that place. 7 days later, they had a 7.0 earthquake and it did this. I slept through it. I didn't even know we had one. people were down here texting me, Ron, what are you all right? Is everything okay? I'd just flown out of Kodiak and flown up to Kenai, and I was sleeping there when it happened, and I didn't even know it happened, but God shook the, why did he do that? Why? Here's the really cool part. Is it that earthquake in Alaska changed the water tables in the whales in Florida? It's like God, hey, he's like, hey, son, I'm connected to you. I'm connected to this thing. And I'm going to just give you a little kiss. You came out of Florida to Alaska. You spoke my word, and I demonstrated it in the earth. But we're going to need to pray for earthquakes this year. We're going to need to pray because there is a refugee crisis in this nation and the nations of the earth. And guess what? The government doesn't have the answer. The governments of this earth doesn't have the answer. We, the ecclesia, have the answer. Riots and rebellions. Nations will be in turmoil this year and the years in this decade. Pay words are to stumble, to dash, to pieces, to be in perplexity, to break, to crush, to scatter, to be startled by sudden alarm, to be in fear, destruction, and ruin. God wants us to pray for Israel. Israel is on God's radar this year. Listen, there are things that are going on prophetically. Maybe we'll unpack those. But I'm telling you, something happened in 1948. If you're not awoken yet, let me wake you up. In 1948, Israel became a nation for the first time in 2,000 years. People that had been scattered across the globe in one day, God brought them all back. And a clock started. It's the prophetic clock. And it's winding down to what? Jesus coming for his bride. We're going to pray for Ethiopia because Ethiopia and Israel have had a long-time relationship. They've had some ups and downs, but even historically, they believe that the Ark of the Covenant was hidden in Ethiopia. We're going to pray for Iran. Why? Because we know what's going on in Iran. You just got to turn on the news for a minute. But let me tell you something. Russia wants Iran in the Middle East to become destabilized. Why? Because Putin has put all of his money into oil and oil refineries, and he would love to see the Middle East destabilized. Listen, there's a prophecy that just came to pass from 1985 by David Wilkerson that the oil fields in Saudi Arabia would be on fire. And look what happened. And Iran shot missiles into the oil fields in Saudi Arabia to disrupt oil flow, right? And guess who's giving them the missiles? Russia. So we want to pray for Iran and Russia. We want to pray for the Palestinians. Listen, we have been hearing this since 1948 and 1967, the two-state solution. God doesn't have a two-state solution. He doesn't. But see, their words, the Palestinians and the Philistines, it's a Philistine. They are the Philistines. All the way back in the Old Testament, that's what the Palestinian people are. And they've always been at war with Israel. Always. But God wants to bless the Philistines. He wants to bless the Palestinians. Listen, if you don't know that it was Abraham's son that was sent out with this little servant lady, that's where the Philistine people came from. But God wanted to bless them. Even then, he still does. But he can't bless them because their words are cursing and to destroy Israel, his covenant nation. Egypt is on the radar this year. There is a Pharaoh spirit that's trying to arise again. Egypt has been in relationship with Israel, but we may see this year some things begin to take place that are not kosher. We'll see. All right, last thing. Passover and Purim, the first and last feast of this year. This is a year from deliverance from enemies. Passover delivered the people from Egypt when God sent the death angel. They put the blood over the doorways and on the sides of the door, and the death angel passed over. Jesus became our Passover lamb. At the Feast of Purim, Esther went before the king and pleaded for the lives of Israel, or the Jewish people. These are both pay words. I'm going to tell you this. Passover and Purim this year, we could see something spectacular happen in the natural realm. I'm putting that out there. If you want to know when Passover is this year, it's April 8th through the 16th, and it Purim is March 20th and 21st. Pay words include blow, puff, kindle a fire. We want to rekindle the fire, but here's the thing I want to tell you. It's a year of signs, wonders, and miracles. This is a year of signs, wonders, and miracles, and we need to begin to expect a visitation from the Holy Spirit that hasn't been like anything we've seen before. Eye has not seen nor ear heard what God is about to do in this season of pay. Stand up. We're going to repeat this because I've been persuaded. Have you been persuaded?
Yes.
God is getting us ready to be persuaded people. And I want you to repeat these things after me because this is the year. We're welcoming in the new year and we're going to say, I'm persuaded that this is going to be a year that we seek God's face.
I am persuaded
that this is a year we're going to take up God's authority.
I am persuaded
that we're going to declare this year what God has said.
I am persuaded
this is a year to change nations through prayer and intercession.
I am persuaded
that this is a year to prosper.
I am persuaded
that this is a year to stand with Israel.
I am persuaded
that this is a year to be delivered.
I am persuaded
that this is a year of Holy Spirit visitation.
I am persuaded
it's time to break through into a new era. Amen.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.